There we go. What I really should do for Advent is wear my new glasses that I don't even have with me. I should, because I'm not wearing them. They're really expensive, and Brad keeps looking at me going, where are your new glasses? I said, they're in my purse. I don't really like them, and so anyway, I'm one of those. They told me at the eye doctor I was a difficult case because I've never worn glasses. I've always had 20/10 vision. Now it's just moved to 20/20, which bugs me but doesn't bug most people. And of course, I need readers. But she said, people like you who don't need glasses till they're after 50 drive us crazy because you don't want to wear glasses, and so you just complain. And so she said, if you hate them, just stop wearing them, but don't come back and tell me you can't see. I'm like, all right. So I need to just grow up and put them on. But anyway, today I'm not. I made this very big. It's like 22 font. So as Margaret talked about, and Carrie did too, I thought today we would really focus on trying to, we're all aware of this, release the stress of the buildup that we all feel as women approaching Christmas. It's so tempting. I remember feeling it as a little kid, just the crazy, crazy, crazy run around, get ready, get ready. But that's actually, we're supposed to be getting ready, but not in a get ready way, but in a peaceful, calmer, low-key, stop and breathe, get ready. So that's really what I'm going to try to walk you through, some things to get you to that place. And then about halfway through, I'm going to explain the big chunky handout that you have and the little piece of paper that goes with it. So we'll get to that in a little bit. So we all get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of the holiday season, the shopping, the cards, the parties, the presents, what are we going to wear, all that stuff. But the church in her wisdom gives us the season of Advent. And this season reminds us to slow down and pray and prepare and mostly just be still as we get ready to celebrate two things: the feast of the incarnation of God, Christmas, and also we get to prepare for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an often forgotten piece of Advent. And that's really the bigger thing that we're doing. Yes, we're getting ready, but Jesus already came. He's been born. We're just remembering that. What we're really preparing for always is the second coming of Jesus. We spend our lives, our walk, hopefully to heaven, getting ready for the second coming. So Advent is like an extra special time to fine-tune that. It's a great time to look at what we're doing. Advent is also a time to shift gears. We have a king, and he is coming. So who is this king? This is a king whose dominion is everlasting. This is a king who is not threatened by any beast, no matter how terrifying it might be. This is a king who establishes a kingdom that will never, ever be destroyed. All of creation praises and exalts him forever. Mountains, hills, springs, seas, rivers, dolphins, birds, and all beasts, wild and tame. All creation exalts him forever. Holy Mother Church helped our minds last week make a shift as we completed the final week of Ordinary Time and then shifted to the first Sunday of Advent. We shift at that transition. We move from talking about the four last things. I don't know if you noticed, the whole month of November we focused on really death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And that's intentional. We're pushing to the feast of Christ the King. But that whole last month, we hear a lot in the Gospels and in the preaching about death and judgment and Jesus coming again. And then we shift to the season of Advent, which is a little bit of a continuation of that, but it's a different focus because it also focuses on the incarnation, God becoming flesh and being with us. So now we shift to preparing to let the earth receive her king. That's from, you know, I'll know that. That's from Joy to the World. But who is this king? From that beautiful hymn, What Child Is This? Is a great line. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. And if I was one of those wonderful ladies, I'd sing that for y'all. But I'm not doing that because I do not have a good voice. What does this king, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, what does he tell us? In Luke 21:33, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. What an incredible promise Jesus gives us. Jesus' words will not pass away. Praise God for the gift of Scripture, the very word of God that we can hold in our hands. So I encourage you to spend a few minutes every day in Advent reading your Bible. Feel the pages, read your underlined portions, and thank God for the gift of His Word. Take a few minutes to think of the words Jesus has spoken to your heart in prayer. Do you have a journal where you record your conversations with Him? If you don't, I encourage you to do that. I journal a little bit, but I don't write long stuff, just sort of key phrases. Some people write a lot, some people don't journal. If you like to journal, I encourage you to do that in Advent. Because when you record those personal words that you hear from God, they sink into your soul and they really resonate. These personal words from Him are important to remember, and He doesn't want them to just go away. He wants you to remember them to be able to come back to Him. Jesus wants us to remember His redemptive love on the cross. He thirsts to dwell in our hearts so that we can let every heart prepare Him room. That's from Joy to the World. Let every heart prepare Him room. So let your heart make room for God. As we enter into the Advent season, we don't just sing along with the songs. Let's pray along with the words in Scripture. As we enter into Advent, don't just sing along, pray along with the readings, and that's what this journal is about, and with your daily prayer life. So I'm going to shift for a minute to Corinthians, and I'm going to tie it back together. Corinthians, for me, has been very refreshing. I've always thought of it as one of those easy books. It's not very deep. It's kind of fun. It has that one that they always read at the weddings, which I'm about to read to you in a second. But I have loved understanding this year how much it is an instruction manual for us and how wonderful Paul's words are and how applicable today, because not very much changed in 2,000 years. Sin is still sin. We still commit it. And yet, Christians back then and now try to move on and lead holy lives just like they did 2,000 years ago. So we fall, we get back up, we fall, we get back up. But it's a good process. Paul reminds us always in Corinthians, he reminds us to come back to the center, to come back to God. Paul, apostle and disciple of the risen Lord, reminds the Corinthians and us now how to live life as disciples of Jesus Christ. That is really his focus in Corinthians. How can we best live out our life as disciples of Jesus Christ? So we have not studied this yet. As Margaret mentioned, we're going to talk about it the first week we're back. But I want to talk briefly about 1 Corinthians 13. So I know I'm stealing a little bit of Monsignor Lopez's show, but we all know how awesome he is, and so y'all will have forgotten this and moved through Advent, and you won't even remember that I talked about this. So sorry, Father. I want to read it to you, 1 Corinthians 13, so it's fresh in your mind. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes in all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Okay, well, the really, really wonderful thing is that Advent is about those three things. Advent is about waiting and learning to appreciate, really appreciate, faith, hope, and love. The greatest gift that God could give us is that He loves us so much that He sent His Son to save us. It's beautiful how the Holy Spirit weaves all this together for us in this season. In Advent, the church gives us a time set apart to reflect on where we are on our spiritual journey and to think about whether or not we are ready for Jesus' second coming. Paul has talked a lot about this in 1 Corinthians. He's told us, and I'm going to just rattle this off, that to be ready, here's what we need. We need to be praying as a united community. We need to be spiritually mature. We need to be living holy lives in a moral way. We need to be setting a good example to others. We need to be helping others in need, using our informed consciences to make good decisions, participating in Mass in reverent and appropriate ways, and opening our spiritual gifts to use them for the glory of God. That's a big order. That is a lot. When you sit down and break it out, you're like, can I even do like one of those things once a week? I mean, that's a big ticket. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that there's an easy way to do that little list, that big list. It's love. The way to accomplish all of those things is through love. Love is needed for the fullness of faith. I want to read you a description of love. It's God talking to you, and it's from my favorite daily reflection book, which is Jesus Calling. Sarah Young wrote that book. If you don't have it, you should just get it and once in a while read it. But I read it every morning. I sort of can't start my day without it. I can't remember what day this was from. It was last week. I love you with an everlasting love, which flows out from the depths of eternity. Before you were born, I knew you. Ponder the awesome mystery of a love that encompasses you from before birth to beyond the grave. Modern man has lost the perspective of eternity. To distract himself from the gaping jaws of death, he engages in ceaseless activity and amusement. The practice of being still in my presence is a lost art, yet it is this very stillness that enables you to experience my eternal love. You need the certainty of my loving presence in order to weather the storms of life. During the times of severe testing, even the best theology can fail you if it isn't accompanied by experiential knowledge of me. The ultimate protection against sinking during life storms is devoting time to develop your friendship with me. God just wants a few minutes of our time every single day. The days I skip my morning prayer routine are not good. They're just not good. It took me a long time to get to the point where I was really like, okay, I just have to do this. Everything is better with God. So let's experience the great and awesome love God has to offer each one of us personally this Advent. Let's take this next 3 weeks. It should be four, but you know, we're cut short because Christmas Eve falls on the fourth Sunday of Advent. So you don't get 4 weeks, you get 3 weeks this year. Let's take that time each day to pray and prepare and be loved by God. So on your tables are these big, thick Advent prayer journals that Georgia really nicely, I love that you think I could do this, said, did you write this? I'm like, no. I wish. This prayer journal, hopefully, if you got black and white, I have color ones. The black and white ones made me kind of sad. I like the pretty colors. This prayer journal is written and produced by a company called, or a group called Opening the Word. And all of the content for Opening the Word, it's a daily, weekly, they produce a prayer journal weekly, and they have different things you can read every day. It's available on this website called Forms that we, the cathedral, subscribe to, and it's free to you guys. So besides this prayer journal, which I just want you to take with you and use, and I'll tell you how to use it in a second, there are little tiny pieces of paper that have the instructions for Formed. I try to make it as straightforward as possible. I sat there and typed into Formed as I did this. So you're going to go to www.formed.org, and it's going to ask you, if you've never been on there before, you just enter your email and create a password. It's not going to make you pay. It's not going to ask you. They do not solicit. I promise. I have all three of my email addresses subscribed to it, and I get nothing from them. So you create your email account, you put your email, create your password, then you have an account with them. Then to access all of the free content, you'll see that code W9CYDM, I think is it. It's on the sheet. That's your free code, enter it all caps. Then once you've entered that free code, you're in forever. Just save the password on your save link, on your password save part of your computer, and you're good. There is so much more than Opening the Word. If you go and poke around that site, you guys, you're gonna be blown away. It's an amazing resource, and it's open. It's for our whole parish. If you want to share this with your friends and other parishioners, that's fine. They ask us not to share it on social media. So don't put this code on Facebook. You can send it to friends. You can text it to them. You can email it to them, but just don't put it on social media. So I think that's because then it would get out there too fast. But anyway, that's part of our contract with them. So when you get home, do it today, because if you don't do it, you won't go do it. If you would like, you may use this prayer journal simply as a prayer journal. Will somebody shut that door? Thank you. You can use it without watching. There's a 5-minute video for each week, and you can use it without that. I went and watched the 4 or 5-minute videos for these 4 weeks, and I really liked them. It does help to have somebody frame up the scripture for the week for you. So I suggest you do it. So you just log in, then you go to Opening the Word, and I've given you exactly how to find the week, and you can watch the video. Each week starts on a Sunday. So right now we're 2 days into, if you'll turn to like the third page. We are on Tuesday of that first week. It's 3 pages in. Page 7. Oh, it has a number on it. Page 7. Okay. So, but it doesn't take that long. You could very well this afternoon go back and just do that whole first part that was what you would have done on Sunday. And I would do that. And then go ahead and do Monday and Tuesday. So the bulk of what you're doing happens on Sunday, and then you have a few minutes each day. And what this breaks open for us is the daily read, the Sunday readings for each Sunday of Advent. So it's gonna really break them open for you on Sunday, and you watch that video and then you dive into it. And then you carry a piece of scripture from the last Sunday's reading into each day of the week as you move forward. So you're really living with scripture, you're breaking it open, you're praying through it. It's Lectio Divina, and it's a traditional Catholic prayer technique, and I highly recommend it. And at the end of each, they'll walk you through it, but at the end of a lot of them, there's a time to sit and reflect and just let God talk to you. So if you've never done Lectio Divina before, I think you will love it. It goes very well with women who like Bible study, because we're already studying the Word. And this is a nice thing to fill in our time while we're not meeting. So I think you will really like this. I certainly do enjoy it. It gives you places to write the answers and just journal. So do with it what you will, but I'm hoping that it will really help you enter each day into Advent, into this season. So the journal, each week, it's all 4 weeks, and it gives you a theme for each week. So what I would like to do is walk you through the 4 themes. And kind of give you a feel for, and you don't need to write any of this down because it's all in the journal. All the questions that I'm going to ask you that you'll be reflecting over are right in there. I pulled them right from there. My suggestion is to use the journal daily and then focus on the theme for the week in your daily prayer. So not only do the little 5 or 10 minute piece that they give you, but also meditate and pray on the bigger theme as you move through that week. And I think that'll make more sense once I tell you the themes. So the theme for this week, this first week, is hope. Waiting, the first week focuses on waiting with hope. Waiting is essential to the spiritual life, but waiting as a disciple of Jesus is not an empty waiting. It's a waiting with a promise in our hearts that already makes present what we're waiting for. We wait during Advent for the birth of Jesus, and we begin to prepare for the second coming of our Lord. We wait after Easter for the second coming, for the coming of the Spirit. And after the ascension of Jesus, we wait for his coming again in glory. We are always waiting as Christians, but it's a waiting in the conviction that we've already seen in God's footsteps. Waiting for God is an active, alert, joyful waiting. As we wait, we remember him for whom we are waiting. And as we remember him, we create a community ready to welcome him when he comes. So this first week of Advent, the week we're in right now, let's ask ourselves, how do I delay seeking Christ today? What distracts me from watching for him faithfully with hope? How do I delay seeking Christ today? The second week of Advent, the theme is prepare. In the reading from Isaiah from that second Sunday of Advent, it says, "A voice cries out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord." In the gospel reading from Mark that same Sunday, Mark recalls the words of Isaiah to make straight his paths. Another daily reading that I use is called Blessed Is She. And if you want to know how to subscribe to that, come up after and I'll tell you. It's incredible. It's a virtual community of thousands of women, millions maybe at this point, Catholic women all over the country. and it's a daily reflection, and also there's a virtual community. It's very beautiful. But I wanted to read you this reflection that one of the Blessed Is She writers wrote about preparing. She says, "My soul is in flux this time of year. Outside of my window, the last vestiges of the earth's fertility and vivacity are fading away with a rapidly decreasing daylight. The final leaves let go and fall to earth, dying so that something else may be born. What is being called to die within me this Advent season so that God's love may be born anew? The tension of Advent grips me, and I try as I may to ignore its call through busyness and holiday cheer. I know that this waiting is a time of dying. While we sing carols and string lights, wrap gifts, and fill our homes with traditions, beneath the surface of all the glitter and warm light is the shadow of the cross and we who embrace it. It's no coincidence that God chose to be born during the dying of the year. We followers of Christ walk in those steps, holding the joy of his birth in tension with the death that is required. Our death is to sin and selfishness and indifference. As we prepare our hearts this Advent by allowing to die anything unloving within us, we do our best to be ready. This second week of Advent, let's ask ourselves, in what ways are we experiencing life as a desert right now? How can we use this time in the desert to prepare our hearts for Christ? What areas of our lives need straightening on the pathway to Christ?" The theme of the third Sunday of Advent is joy. That's Gaudete Sunday. It's the pink Sunday. It's where the priests wear the pretty rosy pink vestments, and there probably will be roses on the altar. We have a pink candle on the wreath. And our theme that week is joy. In the readings, we have the Angelus, where Mary proclaims the greatness of the Lord and is joyful. In Thessalonians, we read, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks." To have joy, a Christian must pray, give thanks, and share the good news. St. Thomas Aquinas defines joy as a fruit of the Holy Spirit that flows immediately from charity or love of God. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that flows immediately from charity or love of God. So this third week of Advent, let's ask ourselves, what is the relationship between prayer and joy, between joy and thanksgiving? How can we pray more and be more thankful? So the fourth week, the fourth and final week of Advent, the theme is faith. And as I said, this year, the fourth week of Advent is Sunday morning, because Sunday afternoon, it's Christmas Eve. So a couple of people in RCI asked me, "So what does that mean in terms of going to church?" I said, "Okay, so I'm going to tell you the answer." Do you want to know the answer or what most people are going to do? She said, "I want to know what we're supposed to do." I said, "Okay." So the fourth Sunday of Advent, you can either go Saturday night, you can go at 4 or 5 to one of those vigil masses, if it kills you to go to church twice in a day. But I know you ladies, and you're going to love to go to church twice in a day. So you can go Sunday morning, but it'll only be through the noon masses. Then, so there'll be a, I think there'll be a 7:30, a 9, a 10:30, and a noon. Then we're going to...
No 10:30
at Kenny Hall. Okay. Because they'll be setting up for the Christmas. It'll be decorated for Christmas. So then, switch, it's Christmas Eve. So everything in the afternoon is Christmas celebration. So literally, this entire fourth week of Advent is squished into a few hours. That's a little awkward. It's this way next year, too. It's just the way the calendar falls. But you can carry that theme of faith into the week of Christmas, and that's what I suggest. That's what I intend to do. So, but in the morning of the 24th, I know it's crazy time, especially for people that have little kids. I know. Try to wake up a little bit earlier, just carve out a little time to sit and go ahead and do the prayer journal. You will be really glad you did before you jumped into food and presents and church and all that stuff. I want to read you Psalm 89, which is we're going to read on the fourth Sunday of Advent. It's so beautiful. "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. The promises of the Lord I will sing forever. Through all generations, my mouth shall proclaim your faithfulness. For you have said, my kindness is established forever. In heaven, you have confirmed your faithfulness. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. Forever will I confirm your posterity and establish your throne for all generations. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. He said of me, you are my Father, my rock, my God, my Savior. Forever I will maintain my kindness toward him, and my covenant with him stands firm. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. That psalm is all about claiming faith. Faith is a gift, but you also have to claim the gift. You have to stand firm in claiming the gift of faith and not let anybody distract you from it. Anybody being the devil. The gospel that fourth week of Advent is from Luke, and it's appropriately the Annunciation. Mary's yes to God is a yes for all of us for all of eternity. Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Through Mary's yes, the Savior came into the world to save each and every one of us. Just like Mary did, we are all called to answer God with a resounding yes as he reveals his plan for our lives. So this fourth week of Advent, which you just stretch it to that first week of Christmas, let's ask ourselves that week, what do I need to surrender to God? What is holding me back? How will I offer my yes to baby Jesus this Christmas? How will I offer my yes to baby Jesus this Christmas? Advent is absolutely my favorite season of the year. It always has been. I have 17 traditions I do with my children. Now that I only have one child in the house, it's a little bit sad. I move Mary and Jesus from the nativity. I move them all. I have the mobile ones, and I move them all around the house. And we do the Jesse tree, and we do the Advent wreath. We light the wreath every night at dinner, and we light the candles. We don't light the wreath on fire. We sort of bonfire. And then we have lots of other small things we do. And this year, when I put the Jesse tree up, it goes up on November 28th, and I sent a picture of it to my family, my kids. I have a fam group chat. Silence. I was like, nobody said I miss you and your Advent, your Jesse wreath, Mom. But so I was like, hey, is anybody there? They're like, oh yeah, we didn't really love that as much as you said. Sorry, Marcy. When they were little, they did absolutely love it. I still love the Jesse tree. It traces the roots of it. It gives us Jesus's lineages from the very beginning, all the way up to his birth, and is a fantastic thing to do with little kids. But anyway. And I have the original one that Marcy made, and I think it's 20 years old. One of those, the felt ones, it's awesome. But I really think that it's my most favorite season because it is a spiritual tune-up. It is God saying, hold on, slow down, everybody take a minute to focus on me and get yourself right. And we all need that sort of kick because it's easy to just keep moving in life and not actually carve out these times. And the church takes such good care of us that she helps us be better disciples. You know, we have so many tools. If we just open a few of them, we're going to be okay. And this liturgical year and all of the traditions that go around that, the different seasons, are such a gift to us. And Advent is just my very favorite one. I think because maybe it's a little bit more joyful, and it is, than Lent. Lent is much more penitential. And Advent is a more, it's still waiting, both times you're waiting, but Advent is a little bit more joyful waiting, so I think that's probably why I like it better. But the important thing is each and every day, whether you do the prayer journal or whatever you want to do, make sure to stop and create time to be still and know that God is God. Quiet yourselves, just do nothing, sit there and let him talk to you, love you, just be still and be with God. You will not regret that. So I encourage you to use the prayer journal, because I copied them all. We paid for them in color. Allow God to love you and change you as he sees fit. The changes that he makes in us are not the ones that we think we're going to want. It's what he knows we need. So I think it's always interesting when you journal during a season to write down what you think you're going to want to change at the beginning and then see where you end up. However many days later, because it probably, you'll see change and you'll have grown, but it'll be different than what you thought. It's nice to write it down. That's why we journal. My hope for you is that during the season of Advent, you can build toward through all of the themes that we talked about, the joy, the waiting, the hope, the preparing, build to faithful surrender. You can keep surrender in mind all 4 weeks, because surrendering to God, to Jesus, giving him everything is hard to do, and the more you think about it, the more it'll soak into your soul. So focus for the next few weeks on surrendering and giving yourself completely to God. It is a very hard thing to do, but a little piece at a time, if you spend the whole season of Advent doing it, I think if we all do that, we'll be more Christ-focused and more filled by him and able to serve the world better. And after all, that's what we're doing as disciples of Jesus. So surrender more fully to God this Advent, and don't forget to enjoy the process. The process is as wonderful as the end result. Enjoy the process of letting God love you and praying, and be present in the process. It's so easy to, I find myself sitting down for prayer time going, okay, when's it going to be over? Actually enter into the prayer time. Let it move you and change you, and don't rush through it, and let God love you. So the song that I picked is Audrey Assad singing Open the Eyes of My Heart. So, and it's about turning to Jesus. Close your eyes and listen to that. And then at the end, I have a surrender prayer I'd like to read to you after the song. And I will read it, and if you'll close your eyes when I read it. And then at the end, I thought I'd put a timer on, and we'll spend like just 2 or 3 minutes in total silence and just practice that, because it's really hard to do it. And then we'll end in silence, but then obviously y'all eat and celebrate and do all this stuff after. But I just thought it would be a good practice, get us all ready to and kicked into gear.